Welcome. This is Leaf Style, where education, culture, and cannabis collides. Today we're having a great topic, the cultivation of cannabis. I am Juma, and I'd like to introduce you to my co-host, a medical cannabis and emergency medicine physician, a medical commentator, and the founder of Ask Dr. Lynn. Dr. Safia Lynn.
What's up, Juma? How are you? So I'm Dr. Lennon, and right back at you. Thank you, Juma, our resident attorney, sociologist, and all-around global citizen. Thank you so much. Happy to be back on our Leaf Style platform, introducing the one and only DeAndre Watson, lead cultivator and cannabis ambassador from Monogram, also the owner of DD's Treats, setting the standard out here for harvest in every role. Welcome to the show, DeAndre.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Lynn. Thanks for having me, June. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. Let's get right into it. When did your relationship with cannabis start?
My relationship with cannabis started like in high school. High school, I didn't really smoke. I was an athlete. So I was dating a girl and she smoked. And then I was like, man, I got to kind of smoke, you know? So I started smoking probably like 16, 17. But as time went by, I was off and on smoking. But then I was getting jobs, off and on summer jobs. But then it wasn't really adding up to what I wanted to add up to. So I started kind of getting little bags here and there, started kind of selling a little bit when I was in high school. And then it just kind of led from getting clothes and trying to like have extra shoes and feed myself more to surviving off of it.
So more than just being your regular athlete, you didn't do football and basketball. Tell them what you trained for.
I trained for life. I mean, you know, just entrepreneurship, you know, it was just to me. I played ball, I played football, I seen different avenues. I seen it wasn't really like, it was for me, but the odds that I was up against, I was like, nah, I'm cool. Let me just go this entrepreneur route. And I had the heart to do it, you know. And at the time, I didn't think it was going to lead to what it led to. But I mean, obviously it led to more than what I thought, you know. It did. I was in it for like 25, 30 years. Like I said, end up being for clothes and end up paying bills. End up putting my son through school with it.
But you're not going to tell him about your gymnastics accomplishments?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yes, but I was in gymnastics. It was a flip when I was a kid. I was real good. I was on the Olympic team. But unfortunately, we didn't have insurance for me to go. So my father was like, we're not going to put you in it because if something happened to me, then I wouldn't be able to, you know, go to the hospital or take care of myself. So when that happened, I just went to the streets. It was another lead right from the streets.
From gymnastics to the streets. I don't think you ever hear that story. That's a unique one. But
yeah, I mean, I did in that. You know, when you say you're a master, a jack of all trades, a master of none. Like right now in my chapter of life, this I'm mastering cannabis. This is where I'm at right now. The universe has led me to this. And it's like, unconsciously, I've really been in this field comfortably for 25, 30 years.
Right. So let's talk about that 25-year journey from starting out smoking, consuming yourself, to selling, and now all the way up till today. Can you take us through that journey a little bit about that process?
The process of meaning like what? Just like as far as like
just the whole journey. That's you're now the head cultivator for Monogram, one of the leading brands out here. and to go through that process from a guy who's, you know, decided to get into the cannabis business at an early age, and now look at you today.
Yeah, but special is that you didn't go to school for this. You didn't learn this in high school and college. You didn't take a class. You didn't, you know, you learned from your experience. You learned from your passion for the plant. and you've really turned the game to be corporate. So,
yeah, yeah, totally. I just wanted to get it just exactly where it was at because a lot of people ask me that. So it's like, to me, like I said, it was, I got introduced from the beginning from my uncle. So my mom and them, they smoked on Saturdays, cleaning up, playing music and stuff. So it was just like, for me, a urge for getting money. I was an entrepreneur. I wanted to start businesses. So I always seen that it was always 3 to 5 years to start a business, and then you had to pay money back, and then you got to owe somebody. Then I always seen that the businessman always get the lower end of the stick, and the street hustler, businessman goes to the street hustler for the money. So I said, how can I get both parts of the world? Because once I get my money, I don't want to go beg to a street hustler. So I said, let me go be the street hustler and educate myself along the way. So marijuana was the best thing for me because it was a misdemeanor to me. It was something that I could face and I could deal with. And I knew I could take it to another level. So from high school, it was ounces here and there. Out of high school, it grew. Once I got 23, 24, I started growing to a whole nother street level of going to different neighborhoods, different states. It just grew bigger than I ever thought. It was like, at first it was like, I'm actually paying my bills off of this. Then it became, I'm actually eating off of this. I'm actually doing. So I was like, you know what? Let me just take it further. And at the same time, grow businesses on along the side as I go. So when cannabis started being, I remember my buddy told me, he said, man, in the next 6-7 years, cannabis is going to, it's going to be legal. And then we're going to be wiped out. I was like, not me. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what? And he was like, I was like, I'm Coca-Cola. You know what I mean? I'm like, Pepsi. And then he was like, all right. And then now it is to the day, they call me the GOAT because I survived when stores open. I survived black market when stores open because I always branded myself off of quality and customer service. So all of my customer was my friends. All of my, it was like I was playing with their kids. When I go to their house, I go in their refrigerator. They would call me. It was a constant. Like, I was their doctor, you know, I would know what to bring them. So if they would tell me something wasn't good, I would bring them something before they even tell me something wasn't good because I know their system. I know cannabis. I know you can't eat a steak for 3 days. You're going to want some chicken or some fish in between. I understand people. I understand when somebody telling me, oh, this is not good. This is not good. I can look and tell, are they hating, how they feeling, who they are, how they smoking. Do you need to stop for a day, go to the gym, run a mile, breathe again? That's just me. I understand it. I can go in a bag and bring an ounce out damn near with my hand. I could wear a pound without a scale almost and be a few off. You know, I'm an eyeball, an eighth type, you know? Like, always. I know weed. Yeah.
Always.
And I know weed.
That's what allowed you, all of those skills that you've cultivated over the last 25 years in this journey. Your personality, your energy, being able to connect with people, being able to know and identify good quality product. Those skills have transferred into your corporate journey now with Monogram.
Yes, totally. And it's crazy because when it went legal, I was against it because it was like I was out of a job in a sense. And then it was like more of me. First it was 10 of me. Then it became 20 or 30 to me because, well, you had to have heart to get on the freeway to carry it. So once you took the value out of incarceration, you have more people doing it. So once it happened, I wasn't voting against it, or I was just in my soul like, I'm losing the job. I got to reinvent myself. So it wasn't like publicly I was against it. It was just in my mind. I was like, man, they about to do this. But then I was like, they're going to change the game because corporate is going to take it somewhere else where the culture can't go. So it's like corporate had the money to do what the culture never had to do.
That is most interesting to hear that perspective for someone who's a legacy, you know, provider of cannabis. As things move legal, your concern is actually now it's way more competition. And so that's a very interesting perspective. When did you really get into sort of the cultivation of cannabis?
I got into the cultivation in and out the years I've been in it. See, when always learned, a lot of my buddies was like, oh, I'm going to grow it. I'm going to grow my own. I'm going to have more money. Time is money and money is time. So the time you took to grow your weed and put your mind and baby this weed, I done went through 3 packs already. So the distributor is the best person in this game. So I'm guiding the cultivators because without me, you is no cultivators. I put a market on your cultivation. So I get your cultivation, go to the street and name it and put a market to it and say it's this and put a name. You come to me saying, what can I sell it for? And I'm going to be like, let me see. I'm going to let you know. I guide it. Distributor is the one that's the best. So a cultivator is going to always say his weed is the best. Who going to say their baby ain't pretty? Everybody baby pretty.
Fact.
Right? Right? Everybody baby pretty. Tell somebody they baby pretty, they're going to cut you. You know what I mean? So it's like, so I guide the cultivators. So the cultivators we deal with that's in our house, I guide them. We go through steps and different things and recipes, and I'm humble. So we come with our cups empty so we all can just collab and see what direction we can go to guide this plant, because we all been in the game. But you might have said you the best. Yeah, of course you the best. You've been in your dungeon for 90 days, 2-3 years. You better be the best. But when it goes to the streets going to tell you what's the best.
Exactly.
Right? Street dictate
what's
that.
What's dope about you is, you know that, I mean? Not only do you smell and feel the product, you actually smoke the product too. And that's how you give your honest opinion.
And because a lot of people, guiding people with cannabis and don't smoke. You know, like you got a lot of cultivators who don't smoke. It's like a chef that don't eat steak. You know what I mean? It's like it's all shit. Either you're going to go be a vegan chef so you can be in your lane and taste your food, but you got to taste the steak. You got to taste something. You got to taste the sauce, this broth. You got to taste something. You know what I mean? Like I understand pork. I get that. It gets religion, but you got to smoke the product. You have to smoke the product. You cannot go off of THC. THC levels is cool when you guide in the medical sense, because it's a whole different avenue. But when you guide for the culture, it's not about percentages. But medical, I agree. And all that, and terpenes, I agree. Because you have to guide them in a way to where they don't be scared the first time when they smoke. So they'll come back. So a lot of times people smoke the wrong things and they get the wrong experience.
Turns them off completely. So even in my role as like a medical cannabis physician, it's really important for me to use those percentages and terpene allotment to help people understand, all right, this strain might be good for anxiety. This one might be good for pain. Let's try this for seizures. Like that really helps to guide which specific brand and choice and strain that I select for you and really recommend for you for the particular ailment we're trying to go with. But you made a distinct difference between culture and medicine. I like how you do that. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Man, I always tell you, it just come out. I don't know how I did that. It just came out. Hey, because, you know, I always tell people, like, this game with the culture is not a template. You know, it's a vibe. It's a conversation. So when you talking, it's nothing that I read. It's nothing that it just come from my soul. You know, I just speak from my soul. It's purely off the customer. It's purely off the person in front of me. I just sit back. I chill. I fill them out. I just empty my cup and get ready for them to pour all their stuff into me. And then I pour it back into them. And see, you know, then we go from there. That's just how I just do it. And it's like, you know, it's like it's corporate right now, you know? And what Monogram is doing is just keeping it traditional as much as we can, boutique as much as we can. You know, we scaling high and it's hard to scale on a high level and keep the culture and that. But that's what I'm in the building for. And it's like I don't know what a lot of brands is doing, but I know what Monogram is doing. I'm in the building every week or every 2 weeks, or when something come out, I'm in that bucket smelling it, smoking it for a couple of days, and I come back and get my review. So I'm always on top of everything that goes in the can. There's no machine putting it in the can. It's all hands on putting it in the can. I'm smoking ounces before we go through it. I'm smelling it. I'm doing everything, and I'm saying, okay, this is too dry, this is this, or if it's, we need to get better with this, we need to get more smell, and then it goes all the time. There's not a time that goes in the jar and I didn't see it.
Well, speaking of that, moving from the culture to the corporate, how did your relationship with Emory and Jay-Z even begin?
So, I have a buddy that, in the beginning, I was feeling like I need to leave the game. You know, I wanted out. I was cool. I had a couple of things going. And my buddy rapped. And I had a car service. I had a few things. And I was like, my buddy was in the music. I didn't know what he did. I've been knowing him for 15 years. I just know he was in the music. But it was my friend. So, you know, you don't ask what you do. I know he was, like, high somewhere. But it was just like, I didn't care. He was just my buddy. And so one day he was in town. And I wanted to show him my car service. So when he come in town, you know, he used my car service. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to play my buddy CD. So he ended up, so he's like, I'm running fast. Come on, you know, come ride with me. So I rode with him, got in the car. I played the CD. He liked the CD. So he was like, you know, hold up. You know, I got something up. You know what I mean? I'm going to put something together. So he ended up signing my buddy. Fast forward. Signed my buddy. We go to Roc Nation. Into the building, I meet Emory now. So when I meet Emory, Emory just took to me. So when we took to me along the journey with the music thing, I used to go to the office all the time and smoke with him, chill. He seen that I was in the weed. And I was telling him, like, you know, I'm leaving that life alone. I'm this, you know, I'm doing this and doing that. And then in the midst of that, I caught a case and went through something. So I really was done. So, and I was told him what I went through, and he was, you know, didn't say much. So then when he seen that I was sticking to my plan and sticking to the gun, that I was walking around, wasn't looking like how I would normally look. He seen that I was sticking through that. So as we was going, one day as the year went by, he was like, we got something up. You know, I'm going to holler at you. I'm like, all right, cool. 6 months later, he bring me some weed. And it was from the parent company. And so I was smelling it, looking at it. I'm like, ah, this one cool. Out of about 8 jars, I'm like, one was good. He like, damn, man. And I'm like, yeah, this is the only one cool. So he was like, we're going to go up to San Jose, and then we're going to go talk to the people. So I went up there once. We went up there twice. Third time, he sent me by myself. And I was like, went back. And he was like, from now on, that's where you about to go. And I was like, yeah. So then later on, they offered me a job. And then when they offered me a job, it just started from a year ago, year and a half ago. So I've been rocking with them for like a year and a half, but 3 years total.
Cleveland Parent Company for Monogram, right?
Yes. Cleveland Parent Company, yep. So I fly to San Jose all by myself. So he just came and dropped me off and just left me. And then just said, go in the building and get us right. And I went in the building. And I know everybody from security to the top man. You know what I mean? Everybody.
Right. You stayed committed. You stayed to your plan. And look where it's taking you.
Yeah, I mean, because I was traveling when I was in the business. This is what I was doing anyway. So you're going to fly me somewhere for free? I mean, you know, like for my job, you know what I mean? It was a blessing. You know, I always heard about people getting flown out by corporate and getting rooms. And I'm like, look at me. And then I'm also saying to myself, like, I'm actually coming home. Like, I'm actually going to go and come back. I remember my trips wasn't like that. My trips would be like, I'm going, but
right,
I might not
right,
come back.
Exactly. It's a different fear, a different, you know what I mean? Different feeling.
So, oh man, it's like I can do this in my sleep. And then when I'm in that building, for 10 and 12 hours constantly. And I bring an energy to that building that corporate needed. You know what I mean? Corporate needed something like this because they're not in the street. And it's like, I love dealing with this, like day in, day out. So it's just a blessing to have been able to cross over to the corporate world and be a part of it. It's just, it's like a dream that I never dreamed of.
When you talk about this, you have a real sense of peace surrounding you and your energy surrounding the plant.
Oh my God, my peace is like at an all time high. Like, I mean, I think my smile just get bigger and bigger every day. Like, because it's just like, it's like I'm here, and knowing that I'm here and I'm safe and I'm doing the right thing, that it's nothing that I can't achieve. It's nothing that I can't do. It's like the sky's the limit, you know, as long as they keep letting me keep guiding them and listening to which way I say go, and this way or that way with the cannabis, I think we're going to win, especially with the branding, because I'm on the streets. I don't take a day off smoking. Like, I can't.
So talk about that daily smoke. What are you doing? What are you consuming? Is there certain strands? Are you tasting everything? Walk us through a day of DeAndre.
Wake up about 5:36, wake up, wash my face, brush my teeth, make some tea, sit back, ESPN, be on First Take or something, and then I'll roll up, or I might already, normally, like 80% of the time, I'm going to have something rolled up, so I won't even have to do that in the morning. Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. So I'm going to do that, then I'm going to go hit the gym, come back, and then hit the steam, or go to the gym, steam room, come back, start dipping my grapes, and once I dip my grapes, and once I finish breaking them down, I'm going to take a smoke break, and then I might roll up something different depending on the weather or how I'm feeling. If I'm feeling light, if I got a lot on my mind, I'm going to smoke something heavy. If I'm feeling cool and happy, I'm going to smoke something light. You know, it just depends, like how I feel. Then I might smoke a grabber leaf. If I'm feeling down, like, and want to just feel heavy, if I'm feeling, like, cool and smooth, I'm going to smoke a joint. Like, I'm just going, this is different highs, just different things that it make you feel like. So throughout my day, like, after I get through cleaning up, take a shower, I'm going to smoke. Then I'm going to go to work, go to my smoke shop. I'm going to run around, run my errands, sit back, eat lunch. Then I'm going to smoke. Then go around my buddies on the block. Then we're going to fellowship. Then some kid going to bring me some new strand. Be like, pops, you know what I mean? Or, I got this. And I'm like, what y'all smoking on? Then we're going to smoke and then see what they smoking on. Then come home, eat dinner, roll up some, take a shower, and then have something before I go down, lay down. Before I lay down, I might roll up something. And if it ain't good, I'm going to put it out. I'm going to roll up something else. Yeah, like, I'm that. Like, I'll roll up three times. I'm not lazy. Like, see, like, when post people think they smoke, I'm like, if you smoke through something that ain't that good, you really don't smoke if you got something else. Because if I'm smoking on something, I can be really smoking and watching something, and it's 12, like, about to go to sleep. I was telling somebody that the other day. I was like, man, because he was like, the kids now is on Zaza. It's like a hybrid. It's like a cookies hybrid. I'm more of an OG. Monogram is more of an OG, more of an old school, like not old school, but more just like of a lifestyle. And a lot of times people are chasing trends. So you have a lot of strands out here that's just like hybrids. And we all know, like, hybrids are not real. Hybrids don't last. Hybrids, they're not unstable. You know what I mean? It's different. And a lot of people don't know that. They not don't face that. So when a lot of people, kids smoke all day, and it sounds like I smoke all day, I smoke differently all day. So, like, they smoke back to back without doing anything. It's just like a continuous chasing a high. But when the thing that they're smoking, first of all, when you smoking a grabber leaf or a blunt, you smoking tobacco. So when you smoking tobacco, you really smoke cigarettes. You know what I mean? So when you really smoking, you really want to smoke every 15 minutes, every 20 minutes. So when you smoke a joint, you can smoke a joint and put it out, and every 30, 40 minutes, you'll go back to it because you really smoke a tobacco. So hybrid and the tobacco, you smoking every 15 minutes. So you really kind of chasing something. So he was like, man, that one ain't good. I was like, no, it's good. It's it. He was like, nah, man, trust me, it ain't the one. I was like, man, tell him I smoke. I was like, man, look, the other night, I was 11 something that night. I was smoking on something, got out to bed and went to go roll up something else. I said, now that's a smoker. And I was like, so don't tell me, like, I don't smoke. So I was just giving that example. So that's the example of me throughout my day. And see, me doing spin class or hiking or running, that cleans me out so I can, it's like almost having ginger when you're eating sushi. Cleans your palate. So a lot of people who's not exercising and cleaning their inside, cleaning their cells out or steam room, so it freshens you back up.
Yeah.
Like a wellness program. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah. You said it's like a wellness program?
Sounds like you got a schedule, a routine, you know, and it's part of your overall wellness program. It's just not one aspect.
No, man, and I'm going to pass somebody they own to roll up because I want my own vibes and my own thing. Like, I smoke my own way. See, like, I learned from my Jamaican Rasta buddies. Like, see, a lot of a joint, weed is not like a cigarette. Weed is a vibe, you know? So weed is like, a lot of times people be in a circle and keep passing and passing. Is that's y'all. Like, me, I'm vibing. I'm chilling. I'm going to smoke, talk, chill, woo. Then I'm going to smoke again, vibe again, go higher, go. See, people just keep smoking like a train. It's like, nah, here, you smoke on your own and get your own vibe. Like, yeah. I don't smoke with too many people. Right. If I'm smoking with you, I really fuck with you. Like, I don't really, it just, I'd rather just give you some. Smoke on your own because I might want to stop. You know, my phone might ring. I might start talking. And then I look up and it's gone. I'm going to be like, damn, for real? And then I don't want to keep looking at you like you holding it too long. And you don't want to keep looking at me like,
man,
I'm holding it too
long. That's the truth. You'd be annoyed looking at somebody like, yo, you going to pass? Passable?
Yo, pass it. Yeah.
Something you mentioned earlier, talking about some of the young kids and the Zaza and the hybrids and the instability, not being stable. Talk to us a little bit about the cultivation process and that the fact that the plant never grows the same. How do you maintain that consistency? How can we always know that when I choose this, I'm getting that?
Because me being the one on top of it, smoking it. Now, when I say a plant never grows the same, we all know that. That's just the truth. It's just an actual fact. You're never, ever, ever going to get the same potency, same hit, torque, taste. That's why when I go get a batch, I go get that batch, and I have a batch, and I go get different batches because I know the thing about it is to save most consistency as you can. From a scale of 1 to 10, we're going to always be an 8. Right. And anything above that is great. And the main thing about us is like giving you a couple of varieties for you to go back and forth to. Because giving somebody some game on getting it, I would be like, smoke this right here, a number 3, then you can smoke a number 1, then you can go smoke a number 8, and go back and forth. You got to know how to play with your tolerance at the same time, too. A lot of times people come back and blame the cannabis or blame the doctor or blame the bud tender. It's not really that. And see, I don't really never like it. I want to find a way to use this term to say this, but it's just like, because I know how to say it, but it's not for this. It's like the consumer sometimes, when they go through their life financially sometimes too, and they find out they're smoking a lot and doing this and that, they're going to find a way to say this ain't right. They're going to find a way to poke holes at this and that. Because me being in a traditional business, I've learned that constantly. But what I've done is accepted it and just talk to them and just ask. When I say accept it, I don't go against it like, oh, no, you wrong. Or no, you this or that. I understand what they're going through. You know what I mean? And that's when I was always at my customer service of giving them something. Because they feel like they came 20 times or this time they didn't get this high, or this time they didn't get this, so they're gonna start poking the holes. So it's like, I was always like, before you even did that, I gave them something and quiet them, and then they would be quiet, and it's almost like, it's almost just like you going through something emotionally. It ain't even about the brands. It just be about the person, the customer sometimes.
I love how you say that. I love how you know? Talk about customers can displace energy. Really something that I'm dealing with personally, and I'm projecting that energy onto what's in front of me. So that projection is making you feel like, damn, is my product not the same? Am I inconsistent? And you're like, nah, it's not me, it's you. Because you know Monogram's going to give 8 and above every single time you drop something. I know you to kill entire batches.
Yes.
I've known you to get into the house,
yes,
into Kaliva House, and say, this, yes, entire batch got to go because it's not to the standard of Monogram.
Right.
That's how you operate, and that's the integrity,
yes,
of your brand that you've always built and stood on.
Yes. Yes. Always.
Speaking about the Monogram products, right? Strictly pre-rolls and flowers, is it strictly flowers? Is there any expansion into other sort of ways to consume?
Right now, we just really wanted to be a brand that stood on flower.
Got it.
I love that.
Yeah. Flower.
I love that. That's what you know.
You know what I mean?
It's to the OG perspective, yeah, of the brand. You're not dibbling and dabbling in hybrids. You're doing what you do that is consistent for you. And flower is the original form. The plant, the seed, the stem, the leaf. Like, it's the original form of the cannabis genius. So you're not dabbling in vape right now.
Yes.
You're not messing with topicals. You're not doing any of the other stuff. You're perfecting what you work with.
Yes. Yes. We're getting this right first before we go on to anything
right.
else.
$50 OG hand rolls, though? Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, it's handcrafted, yeah, by one and only. It's a way that I specialize and we do the paper. It's a way we hand roll each and every one. It's the weed is broke down by hand. There's no machine nowhere around when we roll it. So it's like we might have 32 and 25 make QC. You know, so this is something that you can go back to on the third or fourth day and it's still smoking right, still smelling right. It's a real handcrafted pre-roll. I created this for the people who don't know how to roll that can share the same experiences that we share.
I love that.
Because a lot of people don't know how to roll. And it's real like boutique-ish. It's for the person that just want to grab it and go and just smoke. And then we got a capsule to put it back in and put it back out. And then you can just put it in without ashing it.
You know,
so I can sit with it for a while.
Yo, you can the average person sit with this for, yeah, 3 or 4 days. Guaranteed easy. 3 or 4 days. I'm telling you, the smoke on it is slow. It's a cool burn. We massage them once we put them in the tube. I mean, it's really like all buzz, nuggets, no shake in there. The paper is all broken down into a fine little, like, where it's no... It's special. It's like, it's a technique to it, for sure. And then we have the Lucy's. Now, our Lucy's is a good grade of weed, too. So, good grade of cannabis. But it's a good grade to where it's a grind form to where we're using good cannabis at the same time that we're using for flower, but we're not grinding it to a certain level where when you smoke it, it's in your mouth or it's not tasting as good. It's really like I smoke a Lucy.
Yeah.
I smoke a grabber leaf. Lucy's is perfect. It's 4 in a box. It's perfect. With a tube in it, it's perfect. It's perfect for a quick, before you pull up to valet or pull up to a party, and you're good.
Don't tell them all the sauce. Hold on, D. Don't tell them everything.
Yeah. No, that's a leaf style right there. What's next? What's coming down the road for Monogram? What can we expect from you and Monogram?
Great things for sure. Right now, you know, me, I keep my head in the bucket where the weed at, man. Like, a lot of times they call me and be like, D, you about to be here? D, you about to do that? I'm like, oh, for real? Like, all right. Like, me, without this flower being right, we're not going nowhere. So I'm on this flower. Like, I know we're about to do great things and big things, but I don't put my mind so much into that. I just try to stay in my lane. And when Emery and Jay tap me on the shoulder and say, go left, run this route, run that route, I run the route, catch the ball, and I go. But really just stay on this flower, man, this flower. Like, without the flower, there's no brand. Like, there's no monogram. So really just making sure I stay on top of the flower, keeping it right, making sure I get better every time, getting another strand for you coming up. You know, if something is up that I like, then we'll do it. If it's not nothing I like, right now we just got number 8, number 3, number 1, and we got our Lucy's. But right now there's nothing that I'm rushing to put into the market that's not really there already. It's like some of the things we got is kind of like, ooh, dang, okay, it's cool. Like, I've really seen that. And we perfecting those. So it's like I'm not about to rush and get this and get that. And, you know, of course, everybody almost got everything anyway. We're not creating nothing new under the sun, trust me. But I at least want to stay a little away from somebody else and build myself. Like, I'm believing, we're over here believing in our own strands and our own way. Like, we're going to make our way right. Like, we believing in our way. We carving in our space. You know, you say tomato, we say tomato. You know what I mean? Like, it's you know what I mean? Y'all go y'all way. It might be 100 people going left. And it might be us 10 over here. But this 10 over here is strong, right, for sure. And we're going to build as we go. As we go. The people that deal
Talk
with us know us.
A little bit about that, sort of playing your own lane. Even with the numbers, right? That's something very unique. Is there some significance there in sort of just the labeling of, like you said, number 3, number 8?
For sure, for sure. You know Jay is always swift on his toes about doing things. And it was like we didn't want to come in like a lot of brands naming something. To me, like, I always felt like when I was in a traditional market, people would be like, is this that such and such? I'm like, oh yeah, it is that one. And I was lying. You name it. If that's what made you buy it, yeah, that's that one you told me about. I remember that. Yeah, I got that for you. Yeah, that's that one. That's we didn't do that. Yeah, and you know, and that's what people did, you know, and so it's like we're not naming something. We didn't go to the man and bought your eighth and said, "What was the name of this?" You didn't go to the man and say, "What THC level would he look at you like? What if you don't take that weed and go?" Like, he'd be like, "Man, name it yourself. You can name it whatever you want to name it." But it got into branding, which is, I'm not mad at it. It's cool. We branded, but like I said, we're over here on this side of the freeway dancing to our own drums. So our drums say this, that, and the other. We don't name it. I designated off of low, medium, and heavy, light, medium, heavy. So when I go smoke it and I'm walking and I'm chilling off of it for a couple of days, I'm going to designate it as a medium, light, or heavy. Because that's what you're asking, man. Is it bomb or is it all right? He's going to be like, it's bomb. You feel me? So we can't put bomb on there, but we'll put light, medium, heavy. But then the numbers are significant to Jay in a way, like 96 Lucy's is the Day Reasonable Doubt album drop. So the numbers are significant to Jay in different ways. So Jay came up with that stuff. So he's going to have a conversation with that later on and explain it all. Because if I explain it, it won't be as smooth and cool as Jay.
I'm sure. And they're not sequential. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's not a sequential numbering. It's a significance and a spirituality to the numbering, which speaks to the boutique and uniqueness of Monogram Brand. Everything you do is intentional. You're like the epitome of a team player over there.
Yes. 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 Most definitely. Stay in our lane. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, man. We'll win. We're going to win, man. Stay in your lane, man. Hey, you know what's so crazy? I'm truly blessed because my soul is that. And to be connected with them, it really fits my soul and style of lifestyle because I'm not loud, I'm not really away. So even this is kind of hard and new to me. So it's like it really fits me, and I'm blessed to be around it. So I'm really that person that stays in his lane. So I, you know, I'm with it. Like I said, just give me the order. I'm just gonna go get the job done and be quiet.
The right person for the job. I had a question though. How?
Thank you.
When you're testing these batches, what is that process? How long do you have to sit with it? Where is that point where you're saying, okay, this is the 8+ that I'm thinking of, or this is not going to cut it? How long does that take?
It depends on the strand. Some strands, I damn it can look at it, smell, and know. But out of respect, I'm going to smoke it. Just to put it in my lungs. Just to give it this, because I don't never want to lie and say I smoked your weed or it's this and that and I didn't smoke it. So if I'm going to say, you know what, it's not good and I smoked it. And I know it ain't good, you know, because some weed don't have a smell. It's look ugly, be bomb. So I don't want to trick myself out of that. So a lot of times I can kind of know off top a little bit, but mostly I say, at least over a half ounce or an ounce, I smoke for a couple of days. And what I do is smoke it in the morning, early, go to the gym, smoke it after the gym, smoke it at different times. Then I'll smoke something else, then go back to it and see the palate difference in it, because it's a difference in it. And the taste. And see, the first time you smoke something, it's going to always give you something a certain way. But then you smoke it again, you'd be like, oh, you was trying to trick me. It wasn't really that good. So that's a lot of times I smoke it in a couple of days. They'd be like, D, you ain't smoked it yet? I'm like, no. Or if I'm not in the right mind state, I'm not going to smoke it. I just keep smoking the weed. I'm already away about it. I'm going to be away. You feel me? So I'm just going to wear clear energy, clear mind. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm ready to digest it. I'm digesting the company. I'm digesting everything about it. The jar, the look, the smell, everything to give it a good rate.
Season, we're screaming free the culture. You're a guy that's from the culture, maintaining the culture. Tell us what free the culture means to you.
Man, that's a good question. When I read that, I was like, man, what am I about to say about that? I was like,
speak from your heart.
Like, free the culture. Like, but then you got to start me off like, I need guidance as far as like, when you say free the culture, like, what are we freeing from? Like, are we trapped? Really, like, you feel like we trapped? What you feel like? Like,
if anything,
free the culture. I think we free. I think we moving the corporate. Like, corporate is moving off of us. Like, we free. Everybody expressing themselves. We got Gravelly, Backwoods, you got a lot of brands, you got people smoking in different places. Corporate gonna always be on top. And then if you go, like I always tell people I have a problem with being a capitalist and a socialist. My soul is a socialist, but I know I can't be a socialist without being a capitalist. You feel me? Because I have to live good still, right? So the culture still need corporate. There's no way around it. We need each other. So I just think we need to work with each other better. But I think corporate struggle, culture struggle with corporate meaning being right, with corporate meaning language. It's like we've been kind of uptight when I say even cannabis. Like, if I didn't have to be legit as far as talking corporate in a certain way, the conversation would be even better to me. So I'm learning more corporate talk. But I'm a culture person that's willing to submit right now to corporate for an hour, you know. And a lot of the culture is like, I'm not doing it for 10 minutes, you know? So that's where I think it collide at. But it's a lot of legal things that corporate can't do that the culture think that you can. Like when I'll go in this building and we got to make sure everything is labeled out, sampled out right. And I feel like, man, I could just take an ounce and put it in my pocket and walk out the back door right there. No, that's not how it go. We have to do emails. Like something I'd be like, text me. They're like, email. Why you email me? Just text me. No, yeah, it's email. This is a different world, D. Yeah. Like you have to do this, 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 and this. Yeah, it's a different. So, yeah. So if you want to be, if you want to be culture and broke, then go ahead. But I want to have culture and I want to have some, a bag. You know what I mean? So that's where I think it's just a difference. So corporate really is got to be legit. And you only can have so much culture in that. Culture don't line up with spreadsheets at all. You can do your spreadsheet and you can bring the culture and it'll never line up. You'll have it lined up this week. Next week, the culture going to pass it or the culture or the corporate going to pass it. Because guess what? If that flower ain't right, your spreadsheet ain't going to be right. Cause I'm not in our books because I'm going to be like, this flower ain't going to that spreadsheet. So now what you going to do with your spreadsheet, corporate? Because you got D. And D is culture and guiding monogram in a certain way. So that's where it messes up at. But that's why with us, we just come together and work together as a team. That's why I stand in our lanes. We have a great team over here that we all can come together and talk and communicate and make sure we all on the same page. And I'm my willingness to be with everybody. Everybody from the trimmers, packager, this, dryers, from every understanding it all, it'll help the people with the spreadsheets understand their game. So that's why I just feel like free the culture. Yeah, I mean, we free, but it's like you want to have some money too, right? So we're going to have to do something with corporate. We gotta make it right with them. We got to meet in the middle. We have to meet in the middle. There's no I in team. Somebody got to do something.
Free the culture to
so I know
Boston
we're doing
means
it.
The collaboration between cannabis and corporation and culture. So we definitely see what you're doing to make that happen. Before we go, give us an update on DD Streets and the smoke shop.
Oh man, DD Streets, we just passed inspection. So right now we're going through the stuff of putting all the things inside, building a little brand inside that we got, the wall, the small little things that we need to put together. The smoke shop doing real good. We should be opening up probably like in the next week or so with DD's Treats. I can't wait, man. That has been a long time coming, man. Check us out at DD's Treats, man. For real. It's on Redondo and Pico, 1365 West Redondo in the West LA, Midtown, LA, West LA. Yeah, it's me and my son's business. We've been doing this for about 3 years now, and we've been working on the store for a while. So we finally had an inspection pass, so we're able to move inside and start doing everything from the kitchen so
well,
we can really build our
brand
in another way now.
We will be there doing coverage live in person.
Yes.
Ready to support you in every way possible.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
More than
Thank
welcome,
you
guys. More than
it's
welcome.
Been a great
more
conversation.
Than welcome. Man.
I love to hear the stories and just to get your perspective of someone that's clearly been close to this plant for a while. So, really big thanks. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, DeAndre.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me, man. It was a pleasure, man. Thank you, Juma, for real. Thank you, Dr. Lynn.